Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
It's Tuesday night, and you're tuned in to Blog Talk Radio. You're kind of listening to the Bruce and Pat Show with Bob. Are you ready?
Oh, my God! Please go away, let me sleep with a
Now, here are your hosts, John Bell, a.k.a. Boots.
Oh, yeah, jump on that,
yeah. Patrick Hayes, not the guy from the Black Hawks.
Oh, Jacka.
And Bob Meehan, an Earthway plumber with a bad attitude and a huge crack. Every week from 8 to 10, these guys bring you sports and shenanigans.
All right. And we're back. It is October 15th. It is 3:37 in the afternoon. We had a nice little hiatus, allegedly for summer break for us, I guess. We've had a lot of things going on between weddings, bachelor parties, funerals, all kinds of fun stuff. But here we are, week six, going into the NFL, looking towards the Philadelphia Eagles. I am joined by my buddy Booch. Booch, how are you?
Yo.
And I am joined by our buddy Chewbacca. Chewbacca, how are you?
Yo.
No, you're supposed to say.
That ain't gonna happen.
It might happen. You could probably do it. I know. I believe in you, Paul. You can totally make it happen. Just fucking do it.
Maybe later.
Yeah, you fucking pussy. Anyway, so here we are. We haven't done the show in a while. Excuse me. What are you trying to do, buddy?
Trying to straighten it out.
Are you aware that the pen says, like, chiropractor? Like, that's why it's ingenious that way?
Trying to be a chiropractor on the pen.
Yeah, you're not going to win that argument. So what's up? How are you all feeling?
All right, doing good.
All right, so we got 4 games into the NFL season for the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are sitting at 3-1. This is clearly what we need to talk about. We haven't talked about anything like preseason. I mean, we missed a lot. We really did, and we're back, and we're ready to dominate. So, Bradford's gone. Wentz is our starter, and doesn't Carson Wentz look phenomenal?
Yes.
Are you just a one-word answer today? Is that what that is?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. So Carson Wentz, he looks really, really good. He got 4 games in him. We already went through the bye week. Unfortunately, we lost the game to the Lions after a bye week.
We didn't lose that game.
We'll get into that in a second. All I'm saying is we lost the game after a bye week. He's an Andy Reid successor, so in theory, he should have won that game.
Well, then in theory, he should have lost before the bye.
I like your style.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid was one of the worst teams going into the bye.
I thought you were just a one-word answer kind of guy.
When you say dumb things, I'm going to chime in. So I guess I'm going to be chiming in a lot today.
Well, that's how I get you to engage. I know you're really, really invested in NC State and Clemson.
It's a great game.
Yo,
it is a good game.
It is a good game, but I told my dad, I said, yeah, I'm taking NC State. He goes, what, are you retarded? I said, no, why am I retarded? He goes, Clemson is a better team. I said, why, because they're ranked? I said, look at NC State. Well, I don't give a fuck what the line says.
Neither one of those teams has even
reached 18 yet. It's NC State's homecoming, too, so.
Yeah. Hey, if NC State loses this game, it's 17-17 in what, the fourth? Fourth quarter. It's 2 seconds left.
They're about to kick a field goal.
Who's they?
NC State.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're going to win this game right here.
Get Get the fuck out of here.
Whoa, all right.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
If they win this game, I'm going to literally go punch my dad in the dick.
This kicker's already missed two today, though.
That's all right. I'm just going to punch him in the dick.
One time I said the F word on the show and you told
me. No, we don't fucking care, but nobody listens.
That's back when it was the Booch and Pat show with Bob, and we're like, oh, we got to watch out for the FCC.
Now there's female listeners, so you have to like,
who?
Use the
F-words. What female listeners do we have?
Can you name me a male listener, too?
Wow. Like that. That's fucked up, dude. You got to have some
October.
Faith. We get... Do you,
we have got as many listeners than freaking Joe DeCamera does.
Well, yeah.
Well, Joe DeCamera has no listeners right now.
Well, the hammer's not there anymore.
He fucking left. He's going to WIP. All right, here we go. Here comes the snap. Oh, we're icing the kicker? Is that what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he made it.
You
miss
he
the
fucking
first
made
one.
It. He fucking made it, and
you
they iced him. They iced him.
Oh, my God. You got to miss the first one.
How are you going to have male or female listeners if you don't have a show?
Beetlejuice, go the fuck home. Look at you with your... I don't even know what you are. Are you Beetlejuice or are you like Freddy Krueger? You're combining two genres here.
I am the voice of reason.
If Paul's the voice of reason, we're fucked. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse my language, but fucking A-right.
Alright, we don't have to use that word every freaking time.
What's that, A-right?
Yeah. We don't have to get out of hand.
We don't want to get out of hand. Alright, so they're setting up. Here we go. NC State taking the
really
snap, getting set
angle.
For the field
really
goal to win the game.
This.
2 seconds left
Carson
in the fourth quarter.
Holder.
33-yard field goal. Here we go. Let's see what happens. And here's the snap, and the kick is... He missed it! He freaking missed it!
That's why I say you got to miss the one before.
He missed it! Wow!
I'm glad I have these things on, because he's yelling in my ear. You just had to blow him out.
Wow.
Excuse me. I'll be right back.
Nobody's going to miss you. That's hard to believe. In my head. In your head, you think it's normal. But that for me, that's hard to believe.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, he had it. He had the
college kicker.
I understand he's a college kicker. But here's the ultimate game plan. As a college player, you're trying to play for the pros. So if your only job is to kick field goals, then kick a goddamn field goal.
You know
goal.
How many college kickers make the NFL?
I don't give a
Not,
shit.
Whoa, all right. Not too many. Well, a lot of them are already in the NFL, you know. Maybe one college kicker a year makes the NFL.
Really?
Maybe at most.
Is that the stat? So they just kind of like rely on
Well, you got
veterans
and... So yeah, you get journeymen. And
so they just kind of like keep rotating like veterans and journeymen, and then it's like, oh, well, this guy looks
a kicker
good.
At the end of his career probably plays for four teams. He gets stale at one team and then keeps on moving. What's that? Tampa Bay drafted a kicker in the second round from Florida State, who actually sucks. He can't kick a field goal either. That's why you don't draft kickers.
What are you trying to say?
We drafted a kicker, and where's he at right now? I think he got cut by Cleveland.
Who?
Cody Parkey.
He didn't get cut, did he?
I don't know. He sucks. I would have cut him after he missed those field goals.
Yeah. Easy on Cody Parkey. Number one, he was the answer to our problems for two seasons.
For a year, they got hurt.
And he got hurt, and he just hasn't been the same.
Yeah,
but we were all relying on Cody Parkey after what's his bucket?
Henry?
Yes, Alex Henry. So when Henry was faltering, boom, we got Cody Parkey. He's the answer. He's got the gift. He's got the kick. He's got the leg. Well, he lost in the preseason. He lost in the fucking. Mini camps, and then went to Sturgis.
The reason...
Oh, here we go.
We should have beat the Saints in the playoffs Chip Kelly's first year, but he missed a freaking field goal that time.
That's why he's not with us anymore. Shit sucks, man.
he was our dude, and, you know.
That's what happens with kickers, and Sturgis will probably be out here in a year or two, too.
And that's the ultimate problem.
And we'll bring in a new kicker.
Here's a question, since clearly this is a kicker conversation.
David Akers is a rarity being on this team for 12, 13 years. That's a rarity. You don't see that.
That's what I was going to ask.
You don't even see that with Vinatieri because he moved on to the Colts.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I mean, is David Akers, like, what we had with it, like, this may sound like a really dumb question because kickers don't matter.
There's no dumb questions, just dumb people.
Okay, Paul's a dumb person. Is this a dumb question to ask? As far as being a Philadelphia fan, as far as being a part of this elite organization, being a part of the fandom, I don't want to say biased, but are we, like, smelling ourselves that we had David Akers for so long that we didn't have to worry about a kicker, and then suddenly the kicker becomes a crucial role into winning games, and now we're hurting?
We're not hurting right now. Sturgis is a good kicker. This is how it goes. This is how the NFL's gone forever.
But I'm saying, like, the NFL's going like that forever, but we had David Akers for how many seasons?
12, 13.
And we took him from the Cowboys.
What's that?
I think it was more than that.
I don't think so.
12, 13. We got him from the Cowboys.
I don't think so, Paul.
I could be wrong. I'm
you're wearing flannel, so I just do a tool tie.
It's
I don't think so,
Al.
I don't think so, Al.
But my point is, like, for such a, like, and I don't, I, you know.
For those of you listening.
I'm not trying to downgrade the position, but it's such a position that you really don't give two shits about. You just need somebody that knows how to kick a fucking football and get through the upright. And if you, let's say, in an entire season, 16 games, what's the average? What? 36 kicks through the upright, maybe? In that area?
Sounds right.
Okay, so out of 36 kicks through the upright, you make 26?
No, you want to make about 33 of them.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, with David Akers, he was like Brad Lidge of the Eagles. He was, you put him in, you knew you're making that kick. You knew it.
Right.
So then we had Henry, Parkey, and now Sturgis. I'm not saying it's a position to worry about. I'm just saying, do we put so much emphasis on a single player that we just expect to perform, or are we just kind of jaded?
I don't know. It's the kicker position.
Right, so then we're jaded, because, like you said, it's a fucking kicker. Who cares? It's not a big deal. It's, you find somebody, kicks a field goal, call it a day, you miss one, find somebody else.
Exactly, that's how it goes.
I get that. But ultimately, my point is, with the Eagles being fans, you put so much stock in David Akers that you have faith, that you have trust, that you have belief that he can perform.
Yeah,
so
but we're talking
right. But what I'm
years ago, he
right. But what I'm saying, no.
Time.
But what I'm saying is that
talk
that,
about the kicker.
No. What I'm saying is that whole idea, the faith, the belief that, you know, they will perform, the fans expect that from the Eagles day in and day out.
Sure.
So,
let's talk about something relevant.
That's what I'm trying to get to. Let me get to my point. Hold on.
All right.
So my point is, if it's day in and day out and you want to see them perform, you want to see them do what you expect them to do, they did something unexpected against the Steelers. Nobody saw that coming. And then we went against the Lions, and they looked like ass in the first quarter, or the first half. But they came back. Doug Peterson did his game management. He restructured, and this is how we're playing the second half of the game. And they did well, and they should have won, but then there's the refs.
If the running back knows how to hold a football, you win that game. Win that game without the refs.
Okay.
No.
So the running back knows how to hold a football.
They shouldn't have even been in that. If it wasn't for the refs, they wouldn't have even been in that situation.
But they were, and you can't complain. I mean, the refs are terrible. I mean, you gotta still go out and win a game.
Listen, I'm not trying to make an excuse for
That's
the Eagles.
That's what Philadelphia fans do. They make excuses. You gotta go win a game. You can't fumble the ball there.
Dude, the ball was fumbled, and Jason Kelce was out of bounds when he hit it.
That's another
dead
excuse.
Ball.
That's another excuse. He still fumbled the ball.
Fact.
That's a fact, Jack.
All right. You're not gonna win here.
That's fine. Listen. Should he have fumbled? No. Should the ball been on the outside of his arms? Yes. He shouldn't have had it on the inside where people were coming and tackling. That should never have happened. That's stupid shit. That's bush league.
It shouldn't even been in even on the right arm. It shouldn't even been in the sideline. He should have had two hands on the ball.
And that's fine, but that's bush league. That's stuff that you learn when you're a kid.
No, honestly, if they were and that. You can look at it another way.
Who's the net?
That. If they wanted to run the clock out, they should have ran a running play up the middle.
They ran a running play. It doesn't matter where it's going.
They ran a sweep.
So what? You still have to hold on to
the
damn ball.
Don't even go near the sideline.
Who cares?
All right,
run the ball.
I got one for you.
Get down.
I got one.
Get down first down.
Get down first down, touchdown. I got one for you. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Because I know, I shouldn't say I know, I think it'll get you fired up. During that Lions game with the Eagles, where was Ken John Barner? Where was Smallwood? Why were they not used?
Because we're down 21 and you got to go to your veterans.
I'm saying, the entire game.
Rose
looked
good.
The entire game.
So what? I mean, you're down 21.
Do you use them this week? Against the Redskins?
Yeah, I mean, if the situation comes up, okay, yeah, go for it. You know, we used them in a blowout against the Steelers because we were up so much.
I know.
Why put Sproles and Ryan Matthews in that situation? So, yeah, you're going to use the young kids. In a game you're coming back from 21 points, you're not going to use the rookie.
Yeah, but also,
and a running back that's really just a special
when
teamer.
Your
right,
veteran
but also,
running back fumbles the ball on the sideline.
But all season.
But
all,
he didn't fumble all game, and he's your horse.
But I'm saying all preseason.
You know, he made a bad play. It is what it is. They lost the game.
We may have not done the show for a few months, but all preseason you kept saying Ken John Barner is a beast. That you got to give the ball to Barner. So why
As a
did
punt
they
returner.
Stop? Why did they stop?
He should be your punt returner. You shouldn't have Sproles in there because he's a big part of your offense.
Josh
Sproles should never get the ball handed off to him. Period. Should never happen. Sproles is not a good running back.
I don't know if he watched last game at all.
Sproles
was our best running back last week.
Sproles is a good little screen pass, little dump pass. That's what he's good for.
That's like saying LeSean McCoy is not a good
That's
running
four
back.
Four games. What?
It's like saying LeSean McCoy is not a good running back. Yeah, you're saying you want to split them out and catch screen passes. Well, guess what? McCoy does both.
Dude,
Sproles can do both.
What would any team against the Eagles do if we had Trips to the right and you had Matthews and Sproles to the left? What would they do? They wouldn't know what – they'd stand there and go, shit, what do we do? They wouldn't know.
They wouldn't cover the wide receivers because the wide receivers suck.
That's a whole other story, but yeah.
You can single cover the wide receivers. That's not an issue.
Touchdown Clemson?
Clemson just won it.
No, but what I'm saying is, I want to see, like, you know, the Eagles organization, they put the faith in Carson Wentz. He's our future. He's our guy. So this is what we're going to do for the next 10 years. He's our guy full term. Like, that's our quarterback. So the question becomes, what are you doing for the rest of the team? You have Ryan Matthews, who's injury prone.
And older.
You have Darren Sproles, who is older. And then you have Ken John Barner.
You know how old Ryan Matthews is?
He's 20.
He's younger than DeMarco Murray, who was our starting running back last year.
And what did Murray do for us?
And do you know what Murray's doing right now? He's the best running back in football behind Ezekiel Elliott.
But what did he do for us?
It doesn't matter. We didn't put him in the right spots. Chip Kelly was a terrible coach. He didn't know how to use the beast. And now Tennessee's using the beast right now.
We're running around in circles about this. This is goofy.
You're goofy. Look at your face. My point is, you got two young guys for running backs. I'm not saying play them every down. I'm not saying play them every snap. I'm not saying they need to play every quarter. I'm just saying these guys are talented. Why are we not utilizing them every so often throughout the game? Not until the end of the game when it's a blowout and it's like, all right, let's take out the starters.
Yeah, they're not ready.
How are they not? When did you become like a flip-flop? You were all in favor of Kenjon Barner.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't remember that. That's all right.
What's the Eagles' record?
3-1.
Okay, so if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
Don't make any changes. They don't need to be made.
Okay.
So, what you're saying? I don't even know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, let's play these guys. Well, why play them if we're winning?
We're going into this game on a loss. We're not winning. We were winning. Now we're losing.
It's one game.
We're still 3-1.
Is a loss a loss?
We're still 3-1.
Okay, so are you going into this game with a win?
No, we're still 3-1 though.
Right. Yeah. The record says we're winning, but
yeah, that's the most important part.
No, we beat one of the best teams in the league. We blasted one of the best teams in the league.
We weren't going 16-0.
No, I said we were going to go 5-1. I figured our first loss would come to the Vikings because the Vikings are playing out of their fucking mind.
Well, that remains to be seen. But bottom line is, we would be 4-0 if it wasn't for those refs. And you could talk about the fumble all you want, but it shouldn't even made it to that.
Listen, you can be anti the refs. I'm anti the refs. The refs tried to give that game away. But at the end of the day, Eagles had the lead. Eagles had the game won. Then there was a fumble. The refs called it wrong. It went to New York, and New York called it wrong. And then all of ESPN, all of anybody that was commenting, covering that Eagles game, everybody said, how is that a turnover? That's a dead ball. Jason Kelce was out of bounds when he touched that football. Dead play. End of story. The end. But is what it is. So they kick a field goal, they win the game. Should we have won? Absolutely. Did the refs try to give it away? Absolutely.
They didn't try, they did.
It is what it is. You just got to find a way to, you know, what was it you that was saying to me earlier about the firefighter?
Did you think we'd be 3-1 now? Did you think we would tramp the Steelers like we did?
No.
So, okay, at worst, 2-2. So there's nothing.
What were
really
you saying?
I can't remember his name. I'm blanking on his name.
Danny Watkins.
Danny Watkins. Was it you that was saying it last night about
Kelce?
Kelce. Yes.
Ripped him. Yeah.
Can you clarify for our listeners?
No, I mean, they had an interview with Kelce, and he was telling Big V, if you make a mistake, just let it go. And he said that was Danny Watkins' problem. He wouldn't let things go, got it in his head, and that's why he's out of the NFL. That's paraphrasing what he said, but pretty much, yeah.
I'll give it to you. No paraphrasing, straight out of the mouth, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you sounded like Kelce. I mean, you kind of look like Kelce if you had a beard.
I used to. About an hour and a half ago.
But with the Eagles, like, all right, so since we haven't done the show for a few months, we didn't gear up for the season, we didn't do all this.
We did a show last month.
Yeah, but it didn't get recorded. That was the problem.
Oh, awkward.
I know, it's very awkward. So my question to you is, you stated at the beginning of the season they would have how many wins on the season?
Six.
All right, so you said 6 wins on the season. In my head, I said, we could go 8-8, but realistically, I'm saying 7.
Yeah.
Now, seeing how the season's begun, we're done the first quarter of the season.
Yeah.
All right. Are we still a 6-win team?
No, we're a 9-win team.
9-win team. Okay. Looking at the rest of the division, where do we rank?
2nd.
Behind?
Dallas.
I knew you were going to say that, and that's what brings me to my next point.
That could change.
Does it change because Dak Prescott looks so good?
You know why he looks so good right now?
Here we go.
Because they're running the damn ball. Yeah, very efficiently. Hey, remember a couple years ago when Tony Romo had DeMarco Murray as the leading rusher?
They were
12-4 that year.
I think after 5 games, he's got 1 touchdown pass.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott's not laying the world on fire. They're just running the damn ball behind a good offensive line.
Okay, so based off your statements, two questions I need to ask you.
Okay.
Number one, Jerry Jones has already stated, when Romo's healthy, this is Romo's team.
Right.
Dak Prescott said, this is Tony's team.
Yes.
So, do you agree, forget that you're an Eagles fan,
right.
Just be a football fan.
Yes.
Is it a smart decision to put Romo back at the helm?
Yes.
It is.
Whoa. You do not lose your position because of an injury. That's the unwritten rule of any sport.
So then tell that to Drew Bledsoe, who lost to Tom Brady and then
Bill
lost
Bill Belichick.
And then lost to Tony Romo. He lost it twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's
unwritten rule.
Yeah,
same guy, twice.
Okay, I mean, it is what it is, but it's still unwritten rule.
Okay, fine. So Tony Romo comes back. Fine.
That's good for us.
No, that's great. My second point.
I don't know.
You don't know what? You think Romo's a better
Dez Bryant's more of a threat with Tony Romo than he is with Dak Prescott.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I get that. That's fine. My second point about the lovely Cowboys, as far as how they're going to recreate their organization and figure out how to win. They're currently sitting at 4-1. We're at 3-1. So they have the division at the moment. You're saying we're going to end up this season number 2.
Yeah.
So what do you see the Cowboys doing for the rest of the
season? They're 11-5 team.
11-5 with 2 different quarterbacks?
Yep. With that offensive line and that running back, they're 11-5.
They had that same offensive line last season.
They didn't have a running game last year.
Okay.
They had no running game at all.
Okay. So, all right. So Eagles play Redskins.
Yeah.
Following week, we play Vikings.
Yeah.
And then we are down in Dallas playing Cowboys.
Right.
Do we win or lose that game?
We win that game.
And why do we win that game?
Because we're better in Dallas.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well,
nobody seems to understand every time I say that.
Dallas isn't a good home field advantage. It's just a big freaking museum that Jerry built. It's so big you can't hear noise.
Correct.
The noise doesn't affect anything. It's not a good home field place. It's just a place where Jerry Jones wants to do concerts and make more money.
All right. Now, I may be out on a limb here. I really may be.
And what else is new?
And forgive me if I am 100% wrong.
Yeah, that's right, true, too.
But.
Yeah.
Since Jerry's World's been built.
Yeah.
Have the Eagles ever lost in Dallas?
I don't know.
I don't think they have.
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares? We're playing Dallas in Dallas.
Yeah, this is a different team.
Game at a time. And then we're going to play Dallas at home on New Year's Day.
It doesn't matter if it's a different team. I'm just saying, statistics don't lie.
The same statistic you said after the bye week. We always win after the bye week.
Well, no. I said Andy Reid always wins after a bye week.
I haven't seen Big Red here in a long time. So.
I just took Doug Peterson because he's an Andy Reid guy. And he should have won.
Well, that's like saying that Andy Reid should have done everything Holmgren did. We should have had a Super Bowl here. I mean, come on, man.
Okay. You're gonna come on, man, me? Come on, man.
You know.
Yo,
that's like saying
look at this weekend.
That's like saying Holmgren should have done everything Bill Walsh did.
Look at this weekend.
You know.
No.
Every coach is different.
Yo, Skip Bayless, settle down. What I'm saying is, look at this weekend. You got...
All right, Shannon Sharp, keep on going.
I know that.
Okay, right. You got
Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, playing the Oakland Raiders. Oakland Raiders are 4-1. Andy Reid's what? 2-3? 2-2?
I don't find
whatever.
Still talking about
Andy
Reid.
Shut up. This ain't the Booch and Pat show with Paul. This is the two of us, and you're invited. What I'm saying is, Andy Reid's playing this weekend.
I can turn that computer off real fast.
Yeah, yeah. You come near my computer, I'm going to punch you in the dick. I'm just saying, statistics don't lie. I did my pick'em pool. And I was all for the Raiders. I was like,
okay.
Raiders got it. They're at home. They got the better record.
And when was the last time you won one of those pick'em pools?
Last year. Andy Reid. Andy Reid.
13?
Who lost there? They did lose there?
That might have been in Irving, Texas, though. That might have been in Irving. Yeah.
This weekend, the Chiefs and the Raiders play. Raiders are at home with the better record. Chiefs are struggling. Same division, but Andy Reid's coming off a bye week.
Okay.
Who the fuck did I take? I took Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Absolutely. Because numbers don't lie.
And you know what? The Raiders are going to win because the Raiders are good.
Beer bet?
Beer bet. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Freaking, I'll do a case of beer on that.
I already got you a case of beer last weekend. You finished it off without me.
Oh, that's what happens when you pass out at 11 o'clock.
Goddamn son of a bitch.
I had company over.
Well, I'm glad I could serve all of your late night minions. But no, with the Eagles, you have... Oh, here comes Timmy. Timmy's ready to jump on the show. What are you afraid of, AIDS? Come join the show, buddy.
Welcome to the Booch and Pat Show.
I feel special.
Well, you're not that special. Let's just turn that down a little bit so that you got
a yellow bus special.
Yeah, well, you're something.
So, with the Eagles going into this week, Lane Johnson's suspension upheld.
Right.
So he's done.
Yeah.
10 weeks, he's gone. He comes back, what? Second to last game.
Just in time for the playoffs.
Second to last.
Playoffs.
Playoffs?
You know.
Talk about playoffs?
And it's not, he might not even play that game when he gets back because it's a Thursday night game against the Giants. So you're coming off a short week to begin with.
He's not coming off a short week. He's coming off a 16 or a 10 game.
But he can't practice or anything, so.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
I don't know. It matters how big V's playing. If he's playing all right, then.
True. True. It might be saying Lane who.
Well, you also don't lose. You don't lose your spot because of injury or suspension.
Here we go. We just had this conversation.
That's true. Tony Romo.
Tom Brady.
Well, don't put Tom Brady and Tony Romo in the same sentence.
Why not?
Because one's the greatest quarterback of all time, potentially, and one's Tony Romo.
Okay.
I didn't know which way you were going with that one.
And they both took over for their former quarterback when he got injured.
This is true.
And it's the same quarterback.
Well, that's what you just said.
I know, but he wasn't listening. He was, you know, he was hobbling over to the bar and then came back, and he was in and out. So,
yeah, no, I understand that. So, but that was my ultimate point with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Like, you know, I know that they're saying it's Tony Romo's team. Dak Prescott says it's Tony's team. I understand that. That just shows very loyalty. It shows faith. It shows, you know, respect.
And it
I
shows
that.
You're paying Tony Romo $100 million, so.
I don't think Prescott should not start. I mean, I think he should stay in there while they're still winning.
So do I.
But I don't think he will. I think, you know, it's that old additive, you don't lose your spot.
Well, according to Cowboys, Romo, when he's ready, it's his job. Well,
Romo also has naked pictures of Jerry Jones or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got something on him that, you know, there's something going on.
Jason Garrett might, too.
Yeah. He should.
Actually, I think Romo probably has pictures of Jason Garrett doing something to Jerry Jones. Because how Jason Garrett's kept his job for 6-7 years is beyond me.
Also a distinct possibility.
One night gets weird in Jerry's world, and
only one night's weird in Jerry's world.
Oh, it's always weird.
I feel like every day is weird in Jerry's world. Yeah, come on. So, all right. Looking into this weekend, we got the Eagles Redskins. We're down in D.C. All right, you got Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson, who is a free agent next year and has already voiced his opinion that he's not opposed to coming back to the Eagles if they want him.
Well, that's just being smart. He's going to keep his options open. You know, you don't want to put a team and be like, I don't want to go back there because you are a free agent.
And maybe they're going to pay you a ton of money.
Yeah, maybe they're going to pay you a ton of money. Or, you know, you don't want the other GMs, oh, he's already saying this about this team and this team. You know, you just got to keep an open mind being a free agent at 30 years old.
Is he 30?
He'll be 30 by the time. He'll be 30 in November.
I did not know that.
Well, you got to think. He played 6 years here and then last 3 years there, so.
I just didn't think he was that close to me in age.
I don't want him, but he would be an upgrade for what we have.
How dare you? I never wanted to lose him.
I don't want him. But he would be an upgrade.
I don't want
have.
You.
Thank you. I'll leave.
No,
we enjoy your commentary.
No, he'd be a.
You're like the Joe Buck.
He would. He's somebody we need to stretch the field. We don't have anybody that can stretch the field, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, we just don't have anybody.
We really don't.
We don't have anybody to catch the ball. We don't have anybody to stretch the field.
I said that ever. Like, my dad wants to argue with me all the fucking time about. DeSean Jackson. Ah, he's a head case. He's this. I'm like, yo, listen.
All of the above.
He is all of the above.
So, he runs his route and then he stops. He doesn't care about anything else. I'm like, listen.
Accurate.
I said, listen. The man instantly draws double coverage. Instantly. Because of DeSean Jackson's threat caused Shady McCoy to have a great season running. It caused Zach Ertz.
Shady was a decent running back on his own.
Yeah, I mean, with does he have him up there in Buffalo now?
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. The best receiver's hurt, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, his number one receiver, and Shady's having a great year now. So.
Shady.
Oh, is Shady going to win the number one player of the year?
Like, rushing title?
Probably not. It's going to be Zeke Elliott.
So then why did he get it in Philly? Because there were not enough guys covering him when he was doing it. And the same goes for... No, don't say
that. Because he was the best running back at the time.
Yeah, and he was, what, 4 or 5 years younger?
Yeah. So then why didn't he repeat the next season? Because we got rid of DeSean. And suddenly DeMarco Murray had it?
And our offensive line was not as good.
It was a different offense.
You guys are just drinking the Kool-Aid. Stop it.
What Kool-Aid?
Who was coach when he won the rushing title?
Chip.
Was he really?
Yep.
Then I take it back. Never mind.
Exactly.
But I still stand by the fact that he's still a great running back, and he could have done it without.
I'm not
a DeSean Jackson.
I'm not taking anything away from Shady. He's a very good running back. He is a phenomenal running back. I get that. But as far as the Eagles are concerned, when he was playing here, DeSean Jackson was the big threat. DeSean Jackson was the guy that instantly drew double coverage. If you could get the ball to him, that was phenomenal because that means they were concerned about something else.
There's no doubt he drew coverage and guys off the line of scrimmage and opened things up.
So I'm saying he drew double coverage, so that opened up for Shady. It opened things up for Zach Ertz. Like, you started seeing other guys, Macklin. You saw things from other guys that were like, oh, these guys look really good. It's like, that's because you dropped a guy on defense that's not in the area. And again, I'm not saying DeSean Jackson is the greatest running back. I'm not saying he's the greatest wide receiver of all time. He's just a threat that teams were concerned about with the Eagles that instantly said, you know what, we can't neglect this. We have to cover this no matter what.
He's a guy whose speed makes you account for him on every play.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree with that. You do have to account for him on every play. And yes, he will open things up, you know, for other players. I'm not going to say he doesn't. You know, that's why I said he would be an upgrade on this team. I just don't want him back. I like the direction they're going in. Now, if they decide to bring him back, hey, good. Let's see what
all
happens.
Right.
Maybe he'll make Matthews into the receiver we think he is.
All right, here's my question for you.
I want him to be.
Here's my question. Hold on. Here's my question. You're saying you don't want him back. Okay, fine. You don't want him back.
Shut up, Booch. It's the Tim and Pat show.
right.
You don't want him back. That's fine. But my question to you is, as far as like you wanting him back, you personally, Tim, as a fan, don't want him back. Yes?
Correct.
Okay. But as a playmaker, as looking at the organization, would you say goodbye to Aguilar and say, let's bring back Jackson?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I said he's an upgrade.
I know he's an upgrade.
Yeah.
We never should have got rid of him. We never should have got rid of Shady.
Well,
but that's the way that Chip Kelly went.
I didn't disagree with getting rid of him. I disagreed with how Chip got rid of him. I don't think you can release a player
for nothing.
With that talent and just let him walk away and not get anything in return.
And that you know what?
And that's Chip,
you're absolutely right. That was one of the worst things, in my opinion, that the Eagles franchise has ever done. Now, granted, I'm only 31 years old, so I don't remember what it was like to watch the Eagles back in the 40s like you do. But
you should not insult your guests, or we won't have any guests anymore.
You already made
the one cry and run away.
That was just so far ridiculous. It wasn't
but what
even
I'm
insulting.
Saying is, but all right, let's be.
If you said 60s, I would have been like, well, that's ridiculous, but at least it's close.
But let's be honest. In all of your years being alive, watching the Eagles, have you ever seen a worse, I don't even know what to call it, a cut, a drop, a trade? I don't know what you want to call it.
That was the only one I could
say. That's like
that would
the worst
stick
thing
out.
That you've ever seen the Eagles
I would say
have
that
ever
would
done.
Stick out in my mind is one of the biggest questions of, like, why would you get rid of a guy like that and not get anything in return? And you badmouthed him enough to where no other team was going to trade him.
No, yeah, that was just
bad. It was handled so poorly, not just getting rid of him, but ripping him to the point where no other team's going to trade because they know you're going to cut him.
Right.
You can't
and
cut
that coach, I
forget
that coach's name anyway. He's making a mess up in
you forget what coach's
that
name.
Kelly
the guy,
guy.
That,
yeah,
the
that
guy
Kelly
that you
guy?
Wanted so desperately.
I did want him.
Say his name.
That guy.
Say his name.
That guy in San Francisco.
Say his name.
Chips Ahoy.
No, you don't say it. He says it. He wanted him. You say his name.
I wanted him back then. Who?
Stop. Relax, man. Calm down.
Say his name.
Dude, you're weird. You're actually a little goofy right now. No, I'm good.
You're the one that won him. I said Gus Bus.
Yeah, and he's doing much better. He should have been fired 2 years ago.
No, but at least I own up to who I wanted.
We were just waiting for the right coach.
Still wait. We'll see. Maybe we found him, maybe we didn't.
You're not sold on Peterson?
After a few games, but I like what I see. But, I mean, you know, just like if they had lost a couple of these games, I wouldn't be, you know, burying them.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going
to
give them.
Now, okay, here's another question to you. Are you sold on Carson Wentz for the future?
Same story. I like what I've seen. I think the kid has it. I'm not going to go crazy and say, you know, he's the next coming of, you know, Tom Brady or whatever. But, you know, we still have this thing in the back. I saw this thing in the back of my head called Bobby Hoying.
Hoying wasn't the number two overall pick, though.
Correct. But he came in. He looked really good. Everybody's like jumping on the bandwagon. It's like, oh, this guy's going to be great. He's out of football in a couple of years. Whatever. He sucked.
Yeah. Well, he's still in insurance.
Yeah. I got some. But he's impressed me. I mean, absolutely. How could you not be impressed by what he's done? I mean, he looks good. He looks confident in the pocket. He looks calm. He just looks like he's got it. Whatever it is,
okay,
I think he's got it.
So, in the back of your head, you still have skepticism. In the back of your head,
it's
you
not
still
skepticism,
have
skepticism. It's just waiting to see what happens.
Okay.
I'm confident, but I'm just hesitant a little bit.
All right, so here's my next question. Like, my counterpart to that question is, when we drafted McNabb and everybody booed, and it wasn't because we booed that
not
we
everybody
got McNabb.
Booed. It was five guys up in his fans who booed.
But you know what I'm talking about. You know, he was a fucking head case about the whole thing. But what I'm saying is, when we got McNabb and everybody wanted
Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams.
Hothead.
Everybody wanted him. McNabb went down. He's in history the most winningest quarterback that the Eagles franchise has ever seen.
Okay.
It's a good draft.
Okay. So, do you have that same, like, reservation in the back of your head like you did with McNabb?
I didn't have a reservation with McNabb.
Again, this is the Pat and Tim show, so you're just kind of the guest now.
That's fine. Better game anyway than this show.
No, I personally agree with Booch. I didn't have any, like, real reservations about McNabb. I was somebody who liked Ricky Williams. I was hoping they drafted him. But when they drafted McNabb, I was fine with that. I was like, okay, you know, didn't think anything of it. This guy, the reservations more stem from the fact that he's got a small school, barely played. You know, he didn't even start that many games in his high school or college career.
No, he has 24 career starts before the NFL.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, you got a guy who hasn't played a lot, coming from a small school. You know, how's he going to handle the speed of the NFL?
I think from high school to college, I think he grew like 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah, he did have a big growth spurt at some point there, yeah. But you know, how does that translate? How does that he turn that corner from where he came from to the NFL, where everybody's faster? And you see that when he runs the ball, the hits he takes.
Yeah.
He got away with that in college, playing with these smaller guys, slower guys.
Right.
And he, you know, got his ass kicked a few times because he's thinking he's still in college. It's like, no, it's a different game here. So, but I think he's smart, and I think he's learning that, all right, I can't do that. If I'm at the sideline, don't turn around and try to cut back inside. Get out of bounds.
Right.
You know, don't take unnecessary hits because...
Slide.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're playing baseball.
How...
Get down.
And you talking about how he's smart and he's got... I mean, at the end of the day, whether he has a good game, a bad game, whatever the case may be, we're all on the same page that we're not making an excuse for him, but at the end of the day, he's still a rookie. He's still a rook, and he's learning. So when he overthrew... like
2 Eagles on the top.
What's this?
2 former Eagles in the top rushing.
DeMarco Murray.
LeSean McCoy is 4. McCoy.
Nice.
And LeSean's only 10 yards away from David Johnson at 3.
Yeah. Good year.
Good year.
Good year.
Almost has 500 yards.
Okay.
System.
Yeah.
System. Okay.
Rex Ryan.
Now you're a Rex Ryan fan?
I've always been a Rex Ryan fan.
Oh, my God.
He's a fraud.
I think we need to rename this show for indefinitely.
I'd like to know why. How do you get beat up and, like, give up, what, 30-some points? Score 30-some points, and you fire your offensive coordinator the next day. I don't know what was going on there, but that was bizarre.
It sounds like he just doesn't like his offensive coordinator. Yeah.
It was more of a personality thing.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Your team just scored 30, so your offensive coordinator really wasn't at fault. Not, I don't know if all the points
not,
were offensive. They might have been at defensive scores,
he's
too.
He's not going to fire this. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Brother's been fired from 28 other freaking football teams.
Your defense just gave up 30-some points, and your brother's defense coordinator... Your brother stinks. He's no buddy.
No, none of them. Both of them are buddies.
No.
I mean,
well, they might be buddies.
They might be. Well, they are buddies. But
they're brothers. I don't know if they're buddies.
I mean, Rex was a good defensive coordinator for Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not a fan of the Ryan brothers. Not at all. What else you got, Pat? What's that? What else you got?
I'm sorry. I left the microphone for a bit. What are we talking about?
I don't know. We just hate the Ryans. Or I hate the Ryans.
We're talking about the Ryans.
Oh, well, who
doesn't? Booch?
I don't know.
Booch likes one of them.
Yeah.
Because he's like got a man crush on them.
Really?
No.
He just the hair alone is a reason to not like the one. What's his name? Rob?
Rob.
Yeah,
Rob
he,
Rex.
He likes the hair. He likes the hair and the beard. He's kind of turned on by it.
He's a bum.
I don't like Rob Ryan at all.
Yeah, Rob should not be in the NFL.
Said you.
Terrible defensive coordinator.
Hey, how about those Flyers last night? I'm sorry, I changed the subject.
It's fine. How about them Flyers?
You got 2 19-year-old kids.
They won what, 4-2?
4-2.
Two 19-year-old kids. starting, producing, looking real.
There's
good.
A lot of 19-year-old kids producing out there. You see the kid the other night at four
Toronto.
Goals, 18 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was talking about high schoolers.
Yeah, no.
They're all producing, making babies, you know.
That's a different story.
From Arizona.
Different show.
He's from Arizona, too.
Is he really?
Yeah. Arizona doesn't really make too many hockey players.
No.
So he's going to be Captain America in the next 3-4 years because that kid can flat out play.
They were saying that kid.
And McDavid
like
scored. McDavid scored a couple goals last night too.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Team
he's
USA
the youngest,
is going.
Youngest captain.
Yeah.
In the league, I think he's what 18 or 19 now.
Yeah, he's 19, I
and
think.
He's a captain.
Yeah.
Captain for Edmonton.
Yeah, you got Konechny and you got Probrov, and it's actually taking a little of the stress off Ghost. Because everybody's talking about those guys, so Ghost just goes out there and plays.
How
had,
about him?
Had a nasty injury.
Oh, he got
nasty injury.
Nasty injury, but he was right back.
That's why hockey players are the toughest people in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
How many? I don't know how many stitches he had, but that skate
that went
all
through
the
entire
face.
Face.
The whole
the entire
left
yeah,
side,
yeah,
right
yeah.
side of his
yeah.
face. Yeah, right side, I guess it was. That just looked.
That looks nasty.
And it could have been a lot worse. It was obviously glancing. It didn't go too bad.
A little
I mean,
bit higher.
And he had a shield, but man.
What do you mean a little bit higher?
Well, his eyes.
Oh, his eyes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you go a little bit lower, it goes right across the throat and you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's not pretty. Stick a razor blade to your face like that.
That's why they should play with rollerblades.
It's not the no fun league. They actually play ball or puck.
Yeah, they play puck.
They play puck.
Just for the puck of it.
Just for the puck of it.
No, but I just think, wow, this team is, to me, they remind me of some of these other Philadelphia teams now with a lot of
young
talent.
And Embiid look good.
So here, okay,
yep.
you brought up a good question. You brought up a good point that makes me draw up a question. Out of all of the Philadelphia teams right now, who has the best young talent?
I know
it's four different sports.
No, I mean, right now you've got to love what the Eagles are doing because they are 3-1. But their defense is a little bit older. There's not a lot of
yeah.
young talent on their
the
defense.
Eagles, yeah, I don't think the Eagles had that much young talent.
No,
I think
it's really Carson
talent.
Wentz.
Yeah.
It's the young guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have a bright side with the way Doug Peterson looks like he wants to go. But the when
Can
you're talking
call
about
Doug Peterson young talent? First-time head coach?
First-time head coach, yeah, I mean.
In terms of coaching,
yeah. But when you, if we're talking about the Flyers, Sixers, Phillies,
yeah.
I really like this Flyers team.
I would absolutely agree. I would say the Flyers, because the Sixers, there's too many injury questions that surround them, so they have a lot of young talent.
And the one person you didn't think was going to be hurt this year is now hurt until after Thanksgiving.
There's so many question marks because of injuries, and you really can't get, I was going to say spring training, preseason, you haven't really seen them play because half of them are not playing.
Right.
So it's hard to really tell. I mean, I love what they have on paper.
Sarge looked pretty decent when he's got it in there.
But you just haven't really seen it together on
the
court.
No,
how
Flyers,
long,
you can see it right now. You can see what they have.
How long has it been for Sarge? 3 years since we, like, officially signed him and then we had to wait for him to get out of
3 years since
or?
We drafted him.
Yeah,
or
drafted
him. Well, traded for him anyway.
Right. It's 3 years, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I thought, because I remember when we were doing the show and we were still in the back of the VFW. It was you, me, and Bob. We were talking about Sarich. It was like, he's still in fucking Turkey.
Yeah, I think we drafted him in, like, 1980.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And he's still only, like, 22 years old.
Yeah.
Well, that's what his birth certificate
that's
says.
That's impressive. You'd think he came from Cuba or something.
But Tumbo's still only 33.
Yeah. But also, I love the Phillies' young talent. I think the Phillies are loaded.
Well,
they've got five or six arms.
J.P. Crawford's got to produce, or he might not get a spot, because they're saying Galvis is your starting shortstop next year.
Freddie Galvis may have played himself into the starting shortstop.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Hey, that's Pete McCann already came out and said he's your starting shortstop.
Well, going in right now, he has to be.
But it's got to be J.P. Crawford's time eventually. I mean, he's not getting younger either.
J.P. has to show it in spring training. He has to show it.
Does he end up becoming the new Ryan Howard, where he gets
No, he might just
out?
Be traded.
Okay.
You know, Galvis might have played J.P. Crawford into getting traded. Because there's still another young shortstop, too, I think, single A, double A.
Yeah, there is. They've got some serious depth at that position. But, or do you use Freddie's season as a, you know, springboard to trade him? Because now maybe you're going to get
Because Freddie Galvis is not an old man.
Nope.
27.
He's young. Duke might be able to get something good. He's a Gold Glove shortstop.
Gold Glove had 20 home runs last year.
Yeah, got them popping his bat.
If he bats 270, has 20 home runs, Gold Glove, hey, that's top shortstop in the league.
Yeah.
One of the top.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you either, I don't know, I mean, you trade him and you go with the kid?
Can
or do you
move Crawford to second base?
Cesar had a good year too, though.
I know, but Cesar.
Yeah, but he's also a liability on the base.
He got better the second half of the season. I agree 100%.
Cesar could be your. Hernandez could be your ultimate utility guy. That guy needs a day off, and he can play every position almost.
Yeah. But you already have that guy in Blanco.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Phillies were winning, we had a couple guys that could do a lot of things.
Yeah, and that's what you need. You need those guys to fill in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have such a glut now in the outfield, which is a great problem to have. Because you started this year with no speed in your outfield and basically very little talent in your outfield.
It looks like Nicky Williams isn't going to be up either. His hustle.
He's another one who's a lock to be a starter, and now all of a sudden it's like, do we have a position for him?
Well, they're also not J-Roll last. He's been benched and stuff for not hustling out things.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Nicky Williams.
Oh.
Who's supposed to be our left fielder, probably coming up this year.
But I want to see this kid Dylan Cousins play.
Quinn played great at the end of the year?
Quinn's got speed, and I always compare him to Juan Pierre.
Michael Bourne-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's more of a Juan Pierre because I think he likes to bunt. And Juan Pierre would bunt every single game. He would show the bunt and just open it up, pull the infielders in and open things up for him.
Right.
So it's like that kind of guy changes the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Changes the game.
Top of the lineup kind of guy there. Then you come back with the number two hitter who's either going to be Herrera or Hernandez or whoever. And Herrera's another guy. Where does he fit in to the plan? He was your all-star last year.
And see, another one that you look to trade him. If Quinn's going to be your center fielder, you put him in the corner position, outfield position.
You got Altair.
Who actually, I really liked him going into this past year until he got hurt.
And then he came back and was on fire.
Might be another guy who's out of a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have just,
it's...
But it's a good problem to have.
It's definitely a good problem, but...
Because, I come back to this Dylan Cousins. He's like strawberry size.
Yeah.
He's like a Darryl Strawberry type, where he's got power, he's got speed, he's got he played center field a lot this year. He's a 6'5", 230 kind of
guy.
That's
what I'm saying. Can we possibly move Cousins to first base?
Also an option. That's definitely an option.
Because I don't know if I'm sold on drawing a blank on his name right now, who we brought up last year.
Tommy Joseph,
yeah. I'm not completely sold on him. He might be a one-year wonder.
Pessimistically optimistic. I like what I saw, but yeah, I'm not convinced he's your first.
Yeah, he didn't have to play every game because him and Howard towards the end of the year were pretty much splitting time.
Well, you also have Rice Hoskins, who played Double A with Dylan Cousins,
yeah,
who was another 30 plus home run and 80 RBI type guy. You know, I mean, those two in Reading destroyed the league.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, now whether they can make the jump to the major leagues next year or they're maybe 2 years away or whatever, but those two guys might project as your, future first baseman right fielder. You know, I mean, there's a couple guys, and they have Stasi, I think the guy's name is, also
Stasi,
first baseman.
Yep. So Stasi's been around for a while, though.
So he might have been around too long to not.
Yeah, I don't know how old Stasi, but I've heard his name for the last 4 or 5 years now at this point.
He's kind of at the point where it's either a now or never kind of guy. You know, he might be a career minor leaguer or
Tommy Joseph type deal.
Yeah. So, but there's so much talent there, and the arms that they have, I know half of them were hurt this past year, but if they come back, they have potentially 6 or 7 really good starters. You know, maybe not all number one type starters, but
right. They
can easily fill out a rotation.
Yeah, you need a number one, though.
I think Velasquez has the stuff to be
a
number one. He's got to learn to throw some strikes and get guys. He can't throw 100 pitches in five innings.
Yeah.
You know, that was his thing, pitch counts. He's throwing so many pitches, you know, because he's trying to strike everybody out. He's got to throw more to contact so that he, you know, gets guys out one pitch or two pitches. You know, don't try to blow everything by everybody.
Do you see Helgson coming back next year to help fill out this rotation?
He said he'd like to. I would like to have him back.
I think next year, well, he's a free agent, so he'd be there as a $15 million to $18 million a year guy now.
And that's the problem. He had a good year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had.
Pitchers get paid money.
Yeah. He reminds me of, I forget the guy's name. We got, went on to have pretty good success in St. Louis. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But another guy.
Lytle? Corey Lytle? Or,
not Corey Lytle. After that.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was good for us, and then we didn't want to bring him back because he was going
to come
in.
Didn't he go to the Reds?
I think, pretty sure it was St. Louis.
Okay.
But he went there, and actually I think he might have ended up in Washington.
Okay.
But he just, you know, pitched himself out of here because he was good enough to make command good money, but not good enough to really deserve it. You know what I mean? It's like, but his name did begin with an L.
It does.
But, you know, I don't want to pay a guy $20 million if he's, you know, not going to be a stud. You know, you got to be a 20-game winner.
Yeah, and he's more of a 13 to 14 winner.
Yeah, if he gets 15, great. You know, he's a number two, number three kind of guy.
Exactly.
He's not a top-of-the-rotation guy. But he's going to command the money because of the year he had.
Kyle Loesch.
Yes, Loesch.
I was actually looking it up, and it came to my head before
I knew that was an L, yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle Loesch. You know, and we might have picked him up from Cincinnati. That might be where we got him.
Because I remember seeing him in Cincinnati's.
Yeah. So, I mean, we picked him up like a trade deadline kind of guy. And he did well
for us. I
think
he was a waiver guy.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But he did well for us.
Oh, yeah.
And then went and signed a big contract.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, we can't pay you $15 million to be a 12, 13-win guy.
There's another name who's in the playoffs now that – Cy Young talk, who was a former Philly.
J.A. Happ?
I think I heard he's a free agent.
You know what?
20 wins, there's your top of the line. There's your top of the...
Well, 20 wins with Toronto's offense.
True, but he had good ERA, too.
I was going to say, what's his ERA? I don't know what his ERA is.
I think he was right around 3.
And that's impressive for a minor league team. You know, minor league pitcher to have a 3 ERA.
American League.
I mean, yeah. American League, yeah, minors.
I don't...
Yes. But that's impressive.
I want to say 3-3 or 3-2. I think he had a pretty decent ERA.
Yeah, that's still impressive. Yeah.
I don't know his age. I mean,
he's probably 30-ish.
Yeah, he hasn't been here in a long time. So.
Right. He was a young kid when he was here, but he's been gone for probably 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll bet you he's around 30. Maybe, you know, maybe early 30s. So he still has a few productive years.
Oh, absolutely.
Missed a lot of time with injuries, so he's not like he's an old, you know, 30 or whatever he is. Well, took that line drive off the head.
That's I was just going to bring that up. He got knocked in the head.
That might have taught him how to pitch.
He came back as Tom Glavine after that.
Yeah, he came in as a lefty stud.
His ERA was 3.18.
That's very impressive for an American League team, not a minor league team. Where it tends to be about a run higher.
Right.
Because of that DH.
Yeah, he hasn't played in Philly since 2010.
Okay, so 6 years.
Yeah.
So he's probably in his early 30s. I'd say 32.
20-4 this year.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it helps to pitch for a team like Toronto.
But when you have a 3.18 ERA, it's pretty solid right there.
Hello.
So, as of right now, I am sitting here all by myself. We're talking a little Phillies right now. Pat had to run off to work. Kim had a phone call. So, we're talking Phillies future. We're talking the Eagles playing the Redskins tomorrow. Sixers future, Flyers future. Is this a bright future coming up? We'll see. I mean, we never know. You know... My thoughts tomorrow are, you know, it's a divisional game, first division game of the season. Eagles versus Redskins, always a tough matchup. We lost to them twice last year, so we'll, I think we'll pull that game out. Right now, I changed gears. We're going to
break down a little bit of the Washington Eagles game.
Eagles are going to win by 35 points.
I wish.
Oh, no. Sorry. That was a dream I had last night. I do like the Eagles, though. I do think they go down there and come back with a victory.
They lost twice to them last year. That's a tough pill to swallow. First division game of the year. You got to win.
Which is amazing that you're this far into the season and it's your first division game.
I know.
That doesn't make any sense
to
me, but... You know, I know they had a bye, but still, week six.
You're going to pile a lot of division games up in a couple of weeks there.
Yeah.
So. But I think they're going to win tomorrow by 3. I think it's going to be one of those old school NFC East tough games.
Well, we talked about a guy earlier, Deshaun Jackson. I think the key is to stop their receivers. Washington has good receivers.
Yeah.
You know, you got Pierre Garçon, the proven veteran. You got Deshaun Jackson.
They got that
Crowder.
Crowder.
They've got some good receivers.
And, yeah.
You know, the Eagles' defensive backs have been a little banged up. But the guy came back last week and.
McKelvin. Yeah.
Went out again.
Yeah.
I don't think he's playing.
I think he. Well, I thought I heard he was playing.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
So that'd be big. But, I mean, they got to have everybody out there because, you know,
they got
the key.
Jordan Reed not playing tomorrow, that's a big help.
That definitely helps.
And that might be the end of his career, too.
That frees up Kendricks to like not get burned 5 times.
Well, I don't want to see him on the field that much. He's terrible.
He can't cover a tight end.
He can't cover, and he can't really run the sidelines.
No, he didn't look good. I don't want to see him going up against somebody like a Reed.
He would eat his
lunch.
But Jordan Reed's career might be over at this point.
Is he that bad?
6 concussion.
6?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I hadn't heard that.
He's had a short career.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to know when to hang him up at that point.
Yeah, you're getting that territory where it's almost like...
Eric Lindros territory where, you know what?
You're 24, 25 years old. You want a life.
If you're that prone to concussions, you got to get out.
You're going to have another one.
It's not going to stop. Yeah.
No.
You can take 6 weeks off or whatever you want to do, but you're going to get another one as soon as you come back. Pretty much.
Exactly.
That's
a
big hit you take, you're going to have a concussion.
Especially a tight end over the middle.
Yep. But I'll tell you what, the key is going to be, too, besides, you know, stopping those wide receivers, and the way you stop them is that D-line's got to get pressure on Cousins.
Yeah. Cousins makes mistakes if you get a little pressure on him. He does throw. He's a gun thrower. He's a gunslinger.
And he's not a guy who's going to scramble a lot. You know?
No.
He's okay at getting out of the pocket, but for the most part, he's a pocket guy and put some pressure on him.
He's got that gunslinger aspect to his game, so he likes to throw the ball up.
So get a couple picks, a couple turnovers.
And it could happen.
And just bang the heck out of him.
I think they're going to win tomorrow. I think it's going to be close, but if you get in Cousins' head, you could run away a little bit with that game, too.
I think if the defense takes over and they shut down those receivers, Eagles win the game easily.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, if they let those receivers go off a little bit, it could be a completely different game. If they can't get the Cousins, it could go the other way.
Yeah.
But I don't see that. I see them, you know, knocking Cousins around a bit and just coming away with like a 27-10 win. But
that would be a statement in the division
right there. Absolutely, because Washington's a favorite to win the division.
They won their last three.
They were coming into the
season. They were the favorite coming in because they won last year. They won their last three and look. You know, they haven't looked like world beaters. They had to squeak by some games, but.
But you're winning.
You're winning.
You know,
as long as you get the W's up there, that's all that matters.
And honestly, this entire division, which looked like a joke coming into the season,
it might be the toughest division.
Eagles are winning. Cowboys are winning.
And you got the Giants right there sitting at 500 or wherever they are.
Giants are an interesting team because I thought they'd be better than they are. But you never know with them.
When you got Eli Manning, who's won 2 Super Bowls, you never know. Especially with that wide receiver core.
Yeah. With Cruz coming back, that makes that team that much more dangerous. If gets his head screwed on straight.
Odell
Beckham. Thank you.
He looked like he got a bag. He looked like he was playing pretty well last week.
Well,
he's
got to get his head on straight because teams all they have to do is get under his skin, get him out of his game, and you take him completely out of the game.
Yeah. Well, then he doesn't like to play anymore.
Yeah. Then he whines and cries and complains.
Yeah. He's not having fun anymore in football.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr.?
No,
thank you.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry for all of my fans. I was gone for about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
I know
nobody
you guys
noticed.
And
they actually thought you were there.
And you are who?
That's extremely...
This used to be the Pat and Tim show, goddammit.
Well, it became the Booch and Tim show.
It's bullshit.
But Tim's got to leave, so...
Bye, Felicia.
Ah. All right, good luck.
All right, see you.
You're seriously leaving?
Yes, I have to go.
Oh, okay.
Say good night, Crazy.
Good night, Crazy. So what I missed...
We're finishing up talking about Phillies, how what they could do with the pitching in the off season. Then we just started talking about Washington, what we feel, what's going to happen tomorrow. Predictions.
We're going to win.
Give a score. We've given scores.
A score for the Washington game?
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
Top of the head. Just spout it out.
Off the tip of my penis, I'm going to say... 27 to 17 Eagles.
All right.
What'd you have?
Tim had 27 to 10.
Okay.
34 to 31. It's going to be a 3-point game.
Oh. Well, at least Tim are on the same page saying 27 win. You know, does that concern you at all that the two of us said that, or are you just like, I'm better than both of you?
It's a prediction. Who knows?
Who cares?
The only thing that matters is the final score.
Okay, well, we haven't had much of this all season since we haven't really done the show all season. So, Bucci, buddy.
All right.
Give me your picks. Obviously, we just did Eagles-Redskins. Steelers-Dolphins.
Steelers.
Jaguars, Bears. Bears at home.
Jaguars.
Okay. Browns, Titans. Titans at home.
Titans.
Bengals, Patriots. Patriots at home.
Patriots.
49ers, Bills.
Bills.
Ravens, Giants. Giants at home.
Ravens.
Ooh.
Ravens are a better team.
Okay. Rams, Lions. Lions at home.
Rams.
Okay.
Rams are a better team.
Panthers, Saints. Saints are home.
Panthers.
Okay. Is Cam playing or no?
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay. Chiefs, Raiders.
Raiders.
You're going to go against Andy Reid off of bye week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who cares?
Man's never lost. Never lost after a bye. That's fine. Cowboys, Packers.
In Green Bay? In Lambeau Field?
In Lambeau.
Tough place to play. You can't go against Green Bay at Lambeau Field. Cowboys win that game.
You're saying the Cowboys,
Cowboys
win
that game?
Wow. Okay.
They run the ball. They control the clock. They keep Aaron Rodgers off the field.
Wow. That's a shock for me. I'm surprised you'd say that. Falcons, Seahawks.
In Seattle, right?
In Seattle.
Man,
12th man.
Seahawks. No doubt.
Colts, Texans.
Colts.
And this is a gimme. Jets, Cardinals.
In Arizona?
In Arizona.
Jets are actually pretty decent. Cardinals are decent. Cardinals come off a couple of losses. I'm going Jets.
Are you serious? What's happening right now? Don't drop the mic. Don't drop the mic, man. That's just expensive.
I was dropping the mic. Yeah, I'm going Jets.
Wow.
Jets have a good defense.
Oh, I'm not arguing your picks. I'm a little shocked. I'm a little. I don't know. I don't really have a word for it. I'm surprised. I guess I didn't think that you would. You would pick some of those teams. I'm shocked that you took the Cowboys over the Packers. I'm shocked that you take the Jets over Arizona. Are you sure you know sports?
We'll see what happens. We'll always see what happens.
Hey, you gave me shit for my picks last night. You're taking the upset. That's fine. Father of mine, goodbye. I'll see you in an hour. No. Good talk. Miss him.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. So what else do we got?
I'm good to close it down.
You're good to close it down? Do you have any turds or
I got nothing.
WTFs? Got nothing. Okay, well, that's pretty self-explanatory, I suppose. Anyway, so for all of you tuning in, thank you for listening. It's 4:51 on the 15th of October. First time we did the show in a long time, and we're back, and we're going to be back every week, and we're going to be doing our thing like we normally do. So until then, next week, oh, that's right, we're going to the shore next weekend. Well,
we'll let all of you know if we go to the shore. And if we go to the shore, we may have Rich on the show. Maybe not. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, you know, we'll, as of right now, we'll be back and we'll do the show next week, allegedly, and we'll see what happens. So have a good weekend and let's go Birds.